Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network we know as Blog Talk Radio. We hope everyone's having a good night tonight. We have a fantastic show planned. I use that word a lot, but it's very appropriate tonight. From the legendary band Talking Heads and Tom Tom Club, Chris France will be with us, and we're going to be talking music and their recent tour that they ended. I know they're in the studio once again making some new music, so the Tom Tom Club fans are very excited about that. And also his Wild World up in Connecticut. We're going to hear all about that, so we're very excited to have Chris France back for a second time, a friend of the show, and it's very, very exciting. I have received numerous emails, numerous posts on our Facebook pages about the events that occurred in Ohio today, mostly wanting my opinion on it, and I think everyone's pretty aware what I think about the whole thing, is that it was pretty disgusting in the way it was handled completely from top to end. I do not blame law enforcement for the destruction of tigers, lions, and other wildlife. They were kind of had their backs against the wall. With always the safety of human life, their first priority. And at first, when I heard about this story, I thought, well, here's a man who's been put under some kind of pressure, either from federal or state officials, that has driven him to do this. And then we come to find out today through news channels that it was because his wife was divorcing him. So I have no compassion whatsoever. What an inhumane thing for him to do. Because of his feelings, these animals, which when he released them, he knew that was their demise. There is no way that if they had put the most experienced zoo team together that they could have tranquilized 50 animals in short order to ensure the safety of the general public in the state of Ohio. So his ending may have been quite appropriate. It is so bad, though, that so many animals had to die. And I think the most gut-wrenching thing when his estranged wife was in the arms of Jack Hanna from the Columbus Zoo and said, please don't let them kill my babies, because she had essentially raised many of these animals. And because of our work with animals, we have six tigers, a couple bears, and numerous other wildlife here at our compound. It was just heartbreaking. I don't even want to think about it because it's and of course the first thing that was brought up in this whole situation is private individuals owning wild animals, and that has nothing to do with this series of events, because I'll tell you something, folks, right now, some of the best, most experienced animal people that I know in this great country of ours do not work at zoos. Private individuals, and zoos will not tell you this, but many, many animals are acquired from what they call private owners or private individuals that keep, house, and raise exotic animals. So my hopes is that our job is hard enough. We need no more legislation. Maybe the state of Ohio does, but everywhere else we're pretty secure. And so that's my statement for tonight on the whole event. If more information is put forward, I'll be more than happy to pass it along, but that pretty much winds it up on a very sad note, the events that occurred in Zanesville, Ohio. As always, handling the technical responsibilities, Wayne Larson, and our studio producer, gosh, I messed that up, Melissa Hovey, got so wrapped up in what I was saying. The music, as always, by Jim Johnson, and from the massive Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, the honorable, distinguished, and many times humble, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Well, good evening, Mr. Batson. I think you handled that pretty well. I know how we both feel about it, and we can't express exactly how we feel, but you did a good job. Thank you.
Well, I, you know, I first had some thought that the guy was being pressured by who knows what, or words I've used in a couple interviews, being bullied, because these agencies will do that, just driven him. But when I found out it was all over a divorce, I just had no sympathy. It just went down the tubes. What a horrible thing to do.
Agreed.
Yeah. The following portion of Larry Batson's Wild World is brought to you by Alphabet Swamp, the new children's book by Cheryl and Larry Batson, which reminds me, I need to send Chris France a copy of that book. Order your autographed copy today at www.larrytheanimalguy.com or send check or money order for $10 per copy to WES 4140 North, 600 West, Greencastle, Indiana, 46135. Shipping and handling is included.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for October 20th. Well, in honor of Chris France tonight, we're starting off with the Wild, Wild Life. We're heading off to Alaska. Now, some grocery shoppers experienced a different sort of a bear market. The Ketchikan Daily News said that a small black bear cub walked in the front door of an IGA store there and found its way to the produce cooler.
Of course.
Where, of course, it made a mess.
Yeah.
Now, listen to this. A customer captured the bear, and it was released back into the woods.
He captured the bear?
A customer. I guess he was prepared to catch a bear, and he didn't.
Oh, my Lord. You know, I would love to find out how he did that, because a bear cub from 10 pounds up will eat you alive.
Yes, and we know that for a fact.
I've experienced it, yes. So good for the customer. All right. That's fun.
Well, and the little guy got to go back into the woods after he enjoyed some produce. All right. Well, you have an advantage if you're slippery people. Seaside, Oregon, a surfer said he had a dangerous encounter with a great white shark. Now, Doug Nedblack said that he was knocked off his board and ended up standing on top of the 12-foot-long shark. Now, he was lifted out of the water above his knees before the shark took off.
He was surfing on a shark.
And basically, yep, he was hanging 10 on a shark.
That sounds like a fish story to me.
Yeah, well, at least he survived.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I guess you could do that. You know, their skin feels like sandpaper, I've been told. I've never actually touched a shark, but...
That's right. It's exactly like sandpaper.
Yeah, so... Well, I like... They should have shot
a video. Got the calluses probably cleaned off his feet. Well, you know,
yeah.
Good for him. At least he's alive.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, now here's a little fuzzy, freaky. Gifford, Washington. Someone released about 1,000 mink from a mink farm. Now, Sergeant Lauren Ehrman said that the owners
what
of
was his
Miller's
name again?
Mink Farm.
No, what was
Lauren,
his name again?
Lauren Ehrman.
Oh, Ehrman. I thought you said Ehrman.
No, well, that
I
would be
so
funny.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That would be funny.
Now, he said that the owner of the Miller's Mink Farm were able to round up nearly all of the released animals, and they put them back into cages. Now, he also said that, you know, a released mink into the, if you release a mink into the wild, they have a tendency to die fairly quickly because they're not used to the environment.
Mm. You know, pound for pound, and you're quite aware of this, Dr. Day, is that they're probably the most aggressive mammal on the face of this planet.
Yes, I have to agree. And they do have sharp teeth.
I remember reading a story once where a mink was released, and the guy was looking for it, and he looked out in the field, and it was stalking a cow.
Yeah, it's a mink with bad eyesight, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
All right, we're heading off to Erie, Pennsylvania for our next story. story. Now, the Erie Zoo's year-old giraffe has chosen his own name. Now, zoo officials received about 6,000 submissions in a naming contest, but they had one rule: anything but Fluffy.
Oh.
Now, after narrowing the suggestions to four finalists, the zookeepers wrote down the names and covered them with alfalfa.
Yeah.
Now, they let the animal decide which pile to eat. Now, the 10-foot giraffe picked a pile, sniffed at another, before eating some off the Nigel pile.
Oh, Nigel. That's kind of
Nigel
cool.
is the new giraffe's name.
Well, that's a great name because that's an easy name for children to remember.
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
Nigel,
yeah.
All right, we're heading off to Iowa. They are in love. Trumpeter swans Fred and Fredrika have welcomed five new youngsters to their family. And as we know, the trumpeters are in the endangered species list now.
Yep.
The foster parents, who have their own cygnet, are raising the other young swans after their mother was killed by a coyote that slipped in the protective enclosure where they lived in Clinton County.
Oh.
Now, their father was injured by the coyote also, but he's going to be okay.
Oh.
So Fred and Fredrika have adopted some youngsters and taken good care of them.
Well, that's great news, besides the coyote encounter.
Right. But they're prepared for that for the next time, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely. They can.
All right, there's troubles in the gates of paradise. We're heading off to Hawaii. An ant infestation is forcing the closure of campgrounds at Maui's National Park.
Oh, I was going to go next week, too.
Ants. Yeah, picnic ants. Mm. The National Park Service says that the Holua campground will be closed and reopened in a couple of days. Now, the campground will receive a follow-up treatment to control the Argentine ant.
Brutal.
Mm. Yes, I don't think they're native to that.
Not if they're Argentine ants.
Yeah. I wonder how they got there.
They come from Argentina somehow.
Somehow, yep.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
All right, now here's our local news. If you're in downtown Indianapolis and you think you hear a rock concert, well, it's the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Wildlife Service Branch. Now, they're going to be periodically using fireworks, lasers, and recorded bird warnings to discourage starlings and crows from roosting around the Monument Circle, the State House, the American Legion Mall, and other downtown spots.
Hmm.
So it's not a rock concert. It's blackbirds and crows.
Surely they've thought of using fake peregrine falcons or fake owls or something.
Yeah, I'm sure they have them. As you know, we do have our own peregrine falcons downtown.
Yes, they do. Excuse me, there are. That's
all right. Now, here's something that we discussed earlier in the week, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, a story here, once-in-a-lifetime.
Yeah.
Have the one-eyed albino shark.
I have yet to see that.
You have yet to see it. Well, I didn't want to report it until I found out it was an actual thing, that it was true, and National Geographic has verified it.
Well.
Yes. Now, this one-eyed albino shark was a fetus that had been cut from a pregnant bull shark mother that was caught by commercial fishermen in the Gulf of California. Now, experts said that it was very unlikely that the fetus would survive after its natural birth.
Hmm.
Now, if you haven't seen this thing yet, you have to see it.
I'm going to look it up.
Now, it's a condition known as cyclopia.
Mm.
Now, it's a developmental anomaly that...
We got it.
In which the only one eye develops. And as far as they know, there are less than 50 examples of this that have been recorded.
So what's this condition called again?
Cyclopia.
Man, that'd make a great name for a band.
Yeah. Cyclopia, yeah.
I'm sorry again. I'm apologizing.
apologize.
All right. Now, I want to let everybody know that we have meteor showers tomorrow and Saturday. Now, the best time to see them is around 5 a.m. in the morning.
Oh.
Now, astronomers say that they won't be as amazing as in the past few years, mainly because of a waning crescent moon, which makes it a little harder to see. But the meteor shower is caused by the Earth passing through a dust cloud left behind by Halley's Comet.
Mm.
So if you're up early in the morning, have a look.
I'll be up early.
All right, well, that's the Wild World News for October 20th.
Well, once again, a phenomenal job done by Dr. Henry Day and his group of investigators that put this news together for us each week. We also enjoy the little extras that Dr. Day has put into the program this week, the Wild World News. We want to tell everyone to check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and our brand-new Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends, filled with photos and information about our animal family. Also, McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. We call it God's Country. Michael Hodges, he's the proprietor. Go out there and see him. But go to their website. Make those reservations now because it's a spectacular time to go to Colorado right now. The colors have just been changing. The elk are in the lowlands. It's a fabulous show, so you want to head out there. That website is info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. Also, a big thank you to Cobalt Blue Press Bookstore in historic Knightstown, Indiana. The shelves are stocked with new, rare, and gently used books, including many hard-to-find children's titles. Whether it's your favorite author or subject, owner Shannon Dawson will find any book online for you. Contact her on Facebook or Twitter or visit the store 7 days a week, free coffee, oh man, Wi-Fi, and a cozy reading area. It's a fantastic store. I've been there. Cobalt Blue Press, corner of Main and Jefferson in Knightstown, Indiana. Also, RadioMom.fm and the home of the Radio Mom Shop, where you can save 50, 60, 70% on vacations, restaurants, and a variety of other goods and services. And why not listen to my show, The 70s on Sunday, 12 to 7, each Sunday at RadioMom.fm. Those are a few of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. Legendary band Talking Heads and his band Tom Tom Club, which just finished their tour going everywhere around the world. Percussionist, drummer, friend of the show. From his home, his wildlife refuge in Connecticut, Chris Frank. Hi, Chris.
Hi there, Larry.
Wow, it's great to have you on the show and hear your voice again.
It's a pleasure.
Oh,
I love how you describe my place as a wildlife refuge.
Well, it is, isn't it?
But I guess it sort of is, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
It's like its own little ecosystem here.
Well, you
my
do
funky
have...
ecosystem.
Well, absolutely. You do have an ecosystem there. I don't care if it's a block, an acre, 20 acres, 50. It's its own little world. And
yes, it is.
So how is the family?
Oh, we're all very well. We Tina and I just finished this. I think we did about 30 shows with the Psychedelic Furs.
Wow!
Wow.
It was a co-headline deal, and I'm sorry we didn't get to Indianapolis. We were in Detroit, and we were in Lexington, so we weren't too far away, but maybe next time we'll get to Indianapolis.
Well,
anyway, we did see a good part of the nation, and we had a ball, actually, and just finished up a week ago, and now we're back in the studio cranking out some new tunes.
Exciting.
Yeah, I'm very pleased. We went in just the past 2 days and we came up with five new, don't have vocals yet, but five really good solid backing tracks. So very pleased about that.
My wife always had this question, and I always fail to ask our musical artists, when you write a song, which comes first, the music or the lyrics?
Well, usually with us, it's the music. Sometimes we have an idea of what a song will be about, but we haven't really, we have sort of like maybe a title in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But being that Tina's a bass player and I'm a drummer, we start with a good rhythm, what we call a rhythm bed,
mm-hmm.
and then we bounce on that bed. And we, eventually the lyrics come. That's often the for us the most difficult part of music composition is the vocal and of course the vocal melody, because you don't want to sound too corny or too generic.
Right.
You want it to be interesting and hopefully move people emotionally. So unless you resort to, we don't really want to resort to cliches. So it's like reinventing the wheel every time.
Well,
sometimes it rolls, and sometimes it just, we go back to the drawing board.
Well, writing lyrics if it's a quality song, that is such a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, some people have a real gift for it.
Mm-hmm.
I know this producer we worked with named Arthur Baker
mm-hmm.
once told me that, he worked with Bob Dylan, and he said he'd worked with many, many artists in his day, and he said that Bob Dylan was just mind-boggling, his wordsmithing,
mm-hmm.
How good he was at turning a phrase. And remembering, remembering an idea that he had when he was walking down the street weeks before, and then just it all comes out in a flood. But with us, it doesn't. Lyrics are often not exactly. It's just a challenge every time.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but we rise to the occasion. We do it.
Who writes more lyrics, yourself or your wife Tina? Wait a minute.
I'd say a lot of times what happens is I start writing it and then Tina refines it very carefully.
I see.
And sometimes it's the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's the other way around. So we make a pretty good team.
The rhythm section behind the Tom Tom Club, you were for Talking Heads, and I said on the show last. One of the greatest things about the band Talking Heads was the bass and the drum parts, because it was
strong. Well, we had a really great and unique chemistry with that band, and
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people have been influenced by that band, but nobody really sounds like the band, because it's just each player had his own kind of unique character. So, thank you. It's maybe one day our singer will like wake up and say, "What was I thinking?" And give
hey,
us a call.
That's the title of the song he should write when he comes back. What was I thinking?
Yeah, but meanwhile, life goes on, and we're really enjoying our life right now, and it's all good.
Well, I know by reading your post and seeing your pictures on Facebook. That now have you learned? You said what a great time on tour? Was this as much fun as it was in the days past?
Well, you know, it's a different kind of fun. I mean, we're mature people now,
mm-hmm.
and we're not exactly spring chickens. But we still, you know, we go out and do stuff. We go to nightclubs. We go to, hear other band shows when we have
mm-hmm.
a night off. We saw a cool band you would like this, the Teddy Bears. From from Sweden, they're huge in Europe and in Sweden in particular, and they're basically three producers who produce very mainstream acts like Britney Spears and Usher and others that a girl called Robin, but anyway they're very successful producers, but they like to do their own thing too, which is this electronic punk music,
mm-hmm.
and they're called the Teddy Bears, and they have a new album out. I'll give them a little plug. They're incidentally playing the UNICEF ball in New York on October 27th, where the hostess is J-Lo. And she picked them, so they're probably going to do some production for her or something like that, but anyway, they wear these bear heads when they perform. That when we saw them in L.A., the bear heads were not paper mache or anything like that. They were like the material that they make disco balls, mirror balls from.
Oh my!
Except instead of being a ball, it was the shape of a bear's head. And so when the lights and little lasers would hit them, they'd reflect off their heads and stuff.
Yeah,
it was cool.
I'll bet.
Their album is called The Devil's Music. So,
wow,
you know we like that concept that music should be evil.
Well, I guess in some religions it is, you know.
yeah.
But
it is, you know, it is.
I mean,
certain types, anyway.
So, where
were we? Oh, we were going to talk about Broken Wing, weren't we? Our goose that we've kind of, who's kind of grown up with us here on our pond. She was born on the banks of our pond, a Canada goose. And, you know, we get a lot of goslings every spring, like a couple of dozen usually. And Then it's the snapping turtles get a few, coyotes get a few, and by the end of the, after a while you have maybe six or eight less than you began with.
Yeah.
But Broken Wing survived all that, but we noticed very on that she had this like malformation on her left wing, which I consulted just recently with the Wildlife in Crisis Center.
Yeah.
In Weston, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
They're right there. They help, wild animals that have been abandoned by their, you know, or their mother got killed or injured fawns, things like that. And they said, oh, well, I just described it over the phone, and then I sent them a JPEG of Broken Wings, what the wing looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, that's Angel Wing, which I had never heard of and had never seen. And I've lived on this pond with geese and ducks for 25 years, but there's this
mm-hmm.
condition called angel wing. Are you familiar with it? Where the feathers stick out in an abnormal angle, and basically the plumes of the feathers wear off, so it's just like a couple of, what do you call the shaft on a feather? Quill.
Yeah,
a couple of quills like sticking out at a right angle from the bird, and if they have this condition, they can't fly.
Mm.
So we always thought that maybe she had been injured in the little fence we have to keep the turtles from crawling onto the front yard and into the pool and stuff. but it's this condition which, according to the Wildlife in Crisis, can be from a diet too high in protein,
yeah,
meaning people food or something like that. But she never had people food, and her brothers and sisters didn't have this condition, and her parents didn't have this condition. So it must be some kind of like genetic thing that just, what do you call that when it's very, something you inherit from way back in,
right.
in your ancestors or something.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so their advice was to just let nature take its course and keep feeding her cracked corn when the winter comes and the snow comes. So we'll do that. And she's pretty happy here.
Oh, I'll bet.
She has, you know, the other geese come and go, but she just stays because she can't fly.
Well, yeah, and she knows she's found a fantastic home, and probably every once in a while she gets to hear some pretty good jams.
Yeah, like today.
So why
we were doing a little Latin boogaloo today.
Oh, you were.
I don't know if you're hip to that, but
yeah, absolutely.
It's a pretty cool groove, you know.
Uh-huh.
Something new for us.
I love it all. Yeah. I'm open to any type of music, and yes, absolutely. Our guest tonight is Chris France from the, as I've used this word several times tonight, legendary Talking Heads, and also Tom Tom Club. We're going to take a short break. Folks, you're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website, and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Hello, everyone. This is Larry Batson. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Next week on the show, exciting new artist. This young man has an amazing voice. I see big things in his future. From the state of Colorado, Shane Burke's going to join us. So, really a nice young man. I've had an opportunity to talk to him. Listen to his CD. It is absolutely amazing. You want to tune in next week, everybody. We're going to be back with Chris France in just a couple moments from Talking Heads and Tom Tom Club. We want to tell everyone that the iKidsFishing.com, which is one of our underwriters, is the first kids fishing show in the USA, starring kids, teaching kids how to fish. 40 million fishermen spending $45 billion a year. That's unbelievable. The iKids Fishing Show is a keeper. More info by the people that put this all together. We Want You Cottages at WEWANCHU.com. It's
Chautauqua Lake in western New York. It's one of America's finest fishing resorts. Also, Tire Service Plus and owner Jerry Jones taking care of America's auto maintenance needs. They keep our animal truck on the road. That's a job in itself, traveling thousands of miles with our wild animal ambassadors. In fact, tomorrow we'll be heading off with our baboon and brand-new green-winged macaw and African serval cat and snakes and tortoises up to Decatur, Indiana to see the youngsters. And it's all possible because of Tire Service Plus. Their number is 317-243-0700. We'd also like to thank our numerous amount of individual underwriters that contribute to our show and make it possible for us to be on each week, Thursday night at 10 p.m. And go to my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and hit the contact, and all the information will be there on how you can be an underwriter, the people that support Larry Batson's Wild World. Those are a few of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. Tom Tom Club with drummer Chris France and his lovely wife Tina Weymouth on bass guitar. Introduce the other members of the band, Chris, if you don't mind.
Well, sure. At the moment, you know, Tom Tom Club has been around for 30 years, so we're celebrating our 30th anniversary this year.
Unbelievable.
So we've had a few changes. But at the moment, some of the people have been with us for like 20 years, although
wow.
You would never know it to look at them. They're so, you know, youthful. Like, for example, Victoria Clamp, who's our singer, and she's now playing some guitar, and she sings along with Tina. And Victoria's been with us for 21 years. And then there's Bruce Martin, who plays excellent percussion and keyboards. He does both, and he does some singing, background vocals. Bruce has been with us about 20 years. And then the newest member of the band is Pablo Martin, who's a guitarist. He's been with us less than a year. He started with us we started rehearsing with him in May.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Wow.
Originally, and
mm-hmm.
he's been in New York about 15 years. We met him through mutual friends and excellent guitar player. And then we have Kid Ginseng. Kid Ginseng is the youngest member of the band at 28, and he's a turntablist, and he plays samples and the type of things sound effects that we have that aren't really musical instruments. They're created by something else. So that's what our band is now, and it's a smoking hot band. And this tour we just did with the Psychedelic Furs was a real pleasure. It seems like we don't really think of ourselves as an 80s band, but we have to admit that our biggest hits, one of which you just played,
mm-hmm.
Wordy Rapping Hood and also Genius of Love, were in 1982.
Oh.
The record came out in 81, but they became hits in America in 82. So I guess we're an 80s band, and so are the Psychedelic Furs. And there's a real, especially when you get outside of the New York metropolitan area, it seems, and even there we did very well, sold out all our shows. But there's like this real hunger for 80s music, and mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure why it is. Like for the first time, I would be in a place like Topeka, Kansas, and I'd go into the elevator and in the Hyatt, you know, and
yeah.
I would hear one of our songs in the elevator, not Muzak, but like the actual song.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd hear a Blondie song, and then I'd hear a Duran Duran song, and then I'd hear a Cyndi Lauper song, and then I'd hear a Pat Benatar song, and then I'd hear a Talking Head song.
Wow.
So it seems like the 80s is mainstream is really back in a big way, in terms of like what people want to hear.
Oh, absolutely.
I guess maybe it's partly because of the recession, because those were the early days of sampling and synthesizers and electronic music before people sort of got carried away and got totally robotic about it, you know.
Well,
so
excuse me. I find that youngsters
you.
Are going back into the music catalogs and discovering the bands of the 80s,
yeah.
70s, and 60s, and they're
yeah.
just totally.
It's amazed. Very easy for them to do that with things like Spotify and Pandora.
Mm-hmm.
They can get to that stuff right away. They don't, you know, you don't even have to go to a store anymore.
Well, so, yeah, that's has its good points and its bad points for the artist.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the problem.
Yeah, I know.
But
I miss the record stores.
I know. Well, I'm gonna say something. We had on Shelley Leibowitz, the record producer from Los Angeles, and he has assured me that vinyl is coming back.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And
it is. I don't know if it'll ever come back the way it was, but it's definitely it's something that audiophiles like, and also collectors. And I mean, I still have 3 turntables in my house. You know.
Well, Bill, he said the new turntables that are coming out are amazing.
Yeah,
and
I'm not too familiar with the new turntables, but I know that the new vinyl is better than ever.
Oh yeah, he made a point of that, and he went on a tangent. You know, in the days we bought albums, you would listen to the album and you would just stare at the cover and go through it intently. Now with a CD, you need a microscope.
I
can't
know.
Read all that.
I can barely read. I can barely read most CDs. You know. Yeah, it's not a very pleasant package, the CD jewel box.
Oh,
ugh.
It was. Oh, absolutely. And still, as you know, and the youngsters don't know this, but the sound from the vinyl LP was so warm.
Uh huh. Yeah.
That's
right.
When they re-released all the Beatles material on CD, it sounded so shallow because it was too clear almost.
Uh-huh.
Whereas before, when you listen to them, now this will really age us, 45s, kids have no idea what we're talking about there, or an album, where the set, where the music was so packed together and it basically just hits you right in the face. Whereas now, you know, that
yeah.
you know exactly what I'm saying.
I do. We're going to do our next thing. Our next release is going to be an EP, what we call
mm-hmm.
an EP, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Probably 4 songs, and it's going to be in the digital domain, meaning iTunes or one of those, Spotify, or it's going to be on vinyl, which we can sell at our shows.
There you go.
And, 12-inch. 12
that,
inches of fun.
Well, when I was listening to the last Tom Club track, I thought, man, this band is so much fun. I can't even conceive
uh-huh.
what a live show would be like.
Well, it's a great show.
I
got to tell you.
When you said that you had highlights of this last tour, and one of those highlights of all places was Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah, we played a place called Buster's in Lexington, and it was really nice. You know, it's like a big old warehouse. There used to be a lot of venues like that before Live Nation cleaned everything up, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a big old warehouse and with a stage at one end and a bar at the other end. And I imagine, I think we sold 800-some tickets that night, and it was a Monday night.
Wow.
So, you know, anyway, we just had a ball, and my cousin, who's the mayor of Maysville, Kentucky, was there, and some other cousins that live in Lexington were there, and from Paris, Kentucky, and then the day after the show was great, and then the day after we had a day off, so we just hung out in the bluegrass, you know, and had a real good time.
Isn't that a beautiful part of the country?
Yeah, I love it down there. My grandmother is from the Lexington area, and my grandfather was from another part of Kentucky, and my mother was born in Louisville. So anytime I go down there, I feel the pull of my roots, you know. it's a beautiful place. Nice people, too. As I was saying earlier, they really know how to have a good time there, you know, which is so important. And they know how to have a good time with very little money involved, too. It's not like you have to spend a fortune to have a good time in Kentucky. No, sir.
No, absolutely. So my question is, does all your relatives have that Southern drawl?
Oh, they certainly do, yes.
So how did you lose yours?
You know, I went to school in Virginia, and then I went to school in Pennsylvania, and then I went to school in Rhode Island, and then I moved to New York. And by the time I arrived in New York, I had lost my Southern accent.
Wow.
But I still can get back into it when I go down there, you know, and I start to relax.
Well,
I can speak it.
Yeah. The people are so special. And also the restaurants.
Very good restaurants there.
Yeah.
We actually went to Shakertown and had a nice lunch there. Pleasant Hill. They have some real gourmet chef at Shakertown.
Really now?
Yeah, you wouldn't expect it, would you? But
no. Well, I don't know. So what is a gourmet chef in Kentucky?
They had things with like wild mushrooms.
Oh, man.
You know, everything is from their own garden there, at least in the summer it is. And what did I have? A really good beet and goat cheese salad, and the beets were grown there, and the goat cheese was made there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really not really good stuff.
Well,
yeah.
Now I got the idea that, do you find that you how do I put this? Now that you're touring in later years, that you maybe appreciate it more than you did when you were younger?
Well, there's certain aspects that I appreciate. Like I really appreciate seeing old friends from the, you know, some of them I haven't seen them since the last time we were in that town playing. Like in Detroit, it had been, I don't know, 5 years or something since we'd been there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you see all your old Detroit friends, and then you move on to Minneapolis, and you see all your old Minneapolis friends, and then go to Chicago, and, you know, and it's also nice to make new friends. So, 'cause, you know, being in music is all about making friends.
Right.
And, I mean, that's why we play it, really, is to make friends.
Well, that's fantastic, I mean. Do you find now that when you play that you can say to yourself and your other bandmates, boy, we are a lot better than we were years ago?
Well, I can tell sometimes we're even a lot better than we were 2 weeks ago.
Really?
You know? Yeah. When you do a tour of, you know, say 30 shows in 5 weeks, which was what we just did, you start off, you know, you're good, but by the end, if you're lucky, you're really great. you know. And that's how bands get really good, is just by constantly working. That's why James Brown's band was so amazing, was because they didn't spend a lot of time rehearsing. They were just always working.
Well, and there's the old story. I saw a documentary on James Brown, and I guess he was quite the taskmaster.
He was, yeah.
And if he says, gotcha, it was meaning somebody made a mistake. And he basically incorporated it into the song.
Yes, he was known for fining people.
I had heard that.
For making mistakes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's, has Tom Tom Club ever thought of having fines?
You know, I haven't. It hasn't been necessary for me to give any fines.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, my question is run that by the wife and see how she...
Well, you know, everybody makes a little mistake here and there.
Oh,
I mean, it's we're only human.
Oh, of course. Of course,
being
a performer myself and lecturing and so forth, I find that when you don't think about what you're doing, it gets so much better after time after time.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of deadly to start thinking, especially as a drummer, to start thinking about what you're doing.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, I'm moving my foot like this, and moving my other foot like that. My thumb has got a big blister on it. And, oh, the spotlight is right in my eye, so I feel like I'm at the Department of Motor Vehicles. But I keep smiling because people want to think you're having a good time.
Well, and they don't realize it's work. It's your job.
I do have a good time, really. But my favorite part of the day is when the show is over.
And do you find, I found this when we do lectures in front of 500 or 600 school children, that they basically suck the energy out of you. And when you finish, you realize how tired you are.
Yeah, it could be, yeah. Our audiences are pretty nice, and for the most part, pretty energetic. Although on this tour, we did play a number of seated venues.
Mm-hmm.
That's Charlotte, North Carolina, comes to mind. Charlotte, we love you, but that venue, ooh. Because, you know, especially the new ones, the ushers don't want people to get up and dance. I don't know.
Really?
Why. Maybe they think they might make a spot on the carpet or something.
Oh.
Anyway, what? You know, it's not like – that's one reason Lexington, Kentucky was so much fun. It's just an old warehouse, and people can yell and scream and jump up and down and really have a good time, you know.
Well, in your music, that's what it needs. I mean, it's happy.
Yeah.
It's dance music.
Right.
It's you want to
– Right.
Even though I'm not.
Anyway, we have to get as you get shall we say more established or whatever you want to call it, you start playing these nicer venues, you know, and often they have seats and so because you know the people that come to us or come to see us might be the same age as us, for example, and they might not want to stand up all night.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, it's a double-edged sword, you know, this entertainment business.
Well, it is. And I have to confess that I'm one of those people that prefer to sit down.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss anything. I'm one of the, I like to watch
So
it.
Tell me, how did when you were talking about the kids sucking the energy out of you, what do you do when you take your animals to the schools? How does that work?
It's a show. It's a 45-minute show. It'll either be in their gymnasium.
You've got like tigers and stuff.
Well,
tigers
this year,
and bears and
we have before cubs and that sort of thing. We don't bring the big animals because you know. But this year we've got our baby olive baboon. We always bring a big python or a big snake of some type. We've got an African serval cat, a little big-eared spotted cat from Serengeti. We've got an African, about an 80-pound African desert tortoise, and this magnificent green-winged macaw, which is
And we present about a 45-minute show. My wife, Cheryl, she brings the animals in, and I talk to the kids about them. We make it fun and entertaining and educational all at the same time. We have them clap and laugh, and it's just,
marvelous.
I tell you what, I played music, and I thought, gosh, this is kind of more fun because our audience is broader. Because, you know, we're not, you know, all ages enjoy it. We've been on nursing home tours, and that's a different deal there. And we've been doing this for 32 years, and Chris, it's just so much fun. I'd love to bring the family up to Connecticut and see some of the schools up there. That would be a blast.
Yeah, we got some good schools here.
I'm sure
they'd be happy to see you.
It'd be a phenomenal. It's very simple. And, you know, I hate the kids at that age in elementary school, you know, they're watching the Animal Planet and Discovery Channel, so in their eyes, we're like rock stars. So it's just too much fun. I'll tell you.
Have you seen that YouTube video about the honey badger?
Have you seen that? Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Well,
the way of the honey badger.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always had the yearning to get a baby and raise it and use it as a lecture animal, because what a great animal that would be. I mean, that's... Now, we've worked with badgers from the West. We had a couple of badgers.
Uh-huh.
We worked for like 20 years. We had them on Johnny Carson with Jim Fowler and other venues, and they were absolutely fantastic. Gosh, everybody thinks of badgers being so terrifying and aggressive, which they are in the wild. Pound for pound, probably the toughest thing walking on this planet. But they were fantastic teaching tools. I mean, do you have a place on your patio in the morning where you can take your coffee out and watch your broken wing and the other wildlife?
I do. I have a deck, actually.
You do?
Like a wooden deck. Yeah, and... actually, Broken Wing doesn't come into our deck is in the back, and she doesn't come in that way too much in the summer months. In the winter, she does.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, she'll walk right up to the glass window and look right in and sort of, you know, expecting us to come out and feed her. So she's a smart goose.
Oh, yeah, once they figure out the food chain there, they're amazing. Birds are so intelligent and so forth.
I think I told you before, we have, forest around and we're in sort of an estuary and with a pond and a little dam at the end. And it eventually empties out, the stream empties out into the Long Island Sound. But we have... I found out. Have you ever heard of the artist James Prosek, who does? He has books on trout and other types of fish. And he Prosek. He'd be a good person to talk to on your show. Actually,
absolutely.
I'll see if I can get his contacts for you. But he went to Yale. He grew up around here. That we got to hurry up. He said, Chris, you know, you got really beautiful speckled trout in that stream. And I didn't realize it. And then I looked, and there they were.
Wow. Well, yeah, that'd be outstanding. We'd love to have him on the show. Well,
he's
Chris,
a very interesting guy.
Oh, I'll bet. Artists, they're special. That's artists and musicians, you know. You can't go wrong.
You bet.
You betcha. Well, gosh, Chris, it was so nice of you to spend an hour with us here this evening, and
it's my pleasure, Larry,
and
Dr. Day.
Well, thank you, Chris.
If you're still there,
it's fun to stay up late with Chris France.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, when
it's twice in a lifetime.
That's right.
Well, I'll tell you what, we may bug you again when that EP comes out. And,
why not? Why
we'll
not?
We'll do a little promotion.
Let's do it.
Okay.
And we'll
that's
have
a deal.
If you have an opportunity, send me one, and we'll put clips of it on the show and talk about it. And maybe if Tina's at all into it, we could have her join us in the conversation as well. That'd be outstanding.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Well, thank you very much. Well, want to remind everyone that next week on the show, brand new vocalist from Colorado, Shane Burke. You want to be sure and tune in. What a great show tonight, Dr. Day.
Great show. Thank you, Chris.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Have Bye-bye. A great week, everybody. This is Larry Batson, and you've been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.